In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. We always begin our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary indeed is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. We pray the Hail Holy Queen. We also invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's lift up our hearts, our minds, our souls to God through His Blessed Mother. We say the prayer that she loves most, and that's the Hail Mary, together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit also has many wonderful titles. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier, He who makes us holy. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. The Holy Spirit is also known as our intimate friend. And He's also our interior master or teacher. The great Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, in Romans chapter 8 says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Therefore, let's lift up our hearts, our minds, our souls to the Holy Spirit. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Archangel Raphael, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, the family that prays together stays together. That's exactly what we do at the beginning of our conversation. We invoke Mary to be with us. We invoke also the Holy Spirit to be with us. And we pray to the angels and we pray to the saints. This is part of our perseverance family. You know, as a means of encouragement, I'd like to just remind you that I'll be offering as a special intention in my Mass, prayer intentions for all of you. By far the greatest of all prayers, my friends, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. What a blessing it is for us to be able to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There is no greater prayer in the whole world than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, I'd like to place all of you on the altar. And I'd like to offer special intentions, among which will be, first, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit today. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. So let's pray that we would have our spiritual ears open, attuned to the voice of God today. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. That can be our prayer today of the young Samuel in the temple. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your family and your children. That you as parents, you are the first teachers or educators of your children. That you would take seriously your obligation to educate your children in the faith. You are the primary teachers, catechists, formators of your children. So strive always to bring your children closer to the purpose of their existence, which is to get them to heaven. Remember the words of our Lord who said, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul?" Nothing more important in our lives than to arrive at the purpose of our life, which is to praise God in heaven for all eternity. My last intention will be a constant over the past couple of weeks. I'd like to pray that all of us would be more and more involved, at least through prayer and penance, in the pro-life movement. It is true that thanks be to God, we've won a major victory. The overturning of Roe v. Wade, that's true. But still, our work is not completed. We still have a long way to go. So I'd like to place that also on the altar. Great. So just a recap of what we said yesterday, and then we'll move into the great spiritual treasures of God's Word that we will nourish our minds on that today. Yesterday we celebrated the memorial of one of the saints that had a very wide influence upon Catholicism, Europe, culture, learning, education, the liturgy, and especially religious life, monastic life, and that was Saint Benedict. You may eventually try to get the rule of Saint Benedict, because of all the books written, it'd probably be in the top 10 of the most important books that also the spiritual exercise of Saint Ignatius, the Imitation of Christ, then the Confessions of St. Augustine, the Summa Theologica of Thomas Aquinas, the Glories of Mary of St. Alphonsus, Teresa of Avila, the Interior Castle, Francis de Sales, Introduction to the Devout Life. See, I'm just rattling off these books because promoting good literature is part of the charism of the oblates. So, I'm just mentioning one of these spiritual masterpieces is that of the Rule of Saint Benedict. Okay, the Rule of Saint Benedict. But the motto of Saint Benedict, the motto of Saint Benedict, are those words in Latin, ora et labora. And that wouldn't be a bad motto to motivate our own spiritual journey. Ora et labora are two words from Latin. And what those words mean are, ora means pray, and labora means work. So we're called, my friends, to pray, we're called to work, we're called to trust God, we're called to grow in our friendship with the Lord on a daily basis. And I mentioned yesterday at the end of the talk, that wonderful encounter between Saint Benedict and his sister, his twin sister, who is Saint Scholastica. At the end of the life of Saint Scholastica, we read that Benedict visited their convent, which he could do once a year, with his brothers. They're engaged in prayer and spiritual conversation until sundown. Benedict gets up to return to his monastery, to a cell. His sister implores him to stay longer with her and the nuns to talk about spiritual things. Scandalized, Benedict says, "Sister, we have to get back to our cell." She bows down and prays, and there is thunder and lightning and a torrential downpour of rain, such that Benedict could not leave the house, the monastery of his sister. He said, "May God forgive you, sister, for doing this to me." And Scholastica says, "Well, if you didn't listen to me, I thought maybe God would." So they spent the whole night engrossed in deep spiritual conversation. Until sunrise, and Benedict returns to his cell. He opens up the entrance to his window, and he sees this bird soaring. Soaring into the heights. And that bird was not so much a bird, it was actually his sister, so Scholastica, that died. So that was their last encounter. And that bird that was soaring on high was symbolic of Saint Scholastica going to heaven. So Saint Benedict, my friends, related to Saint Scholastica, is a fascinating, charming saint. But also, as a result of Saint Benedict, we have the founder of Western monasticism, the building of monasteries, and as a result of that, the promotion of reading and writing and culture and Christian civilization. That's one of the reasons why Pope Benedict chose the name Benedict in honor of Saint Benedict, because Pope Benedict, when he was elected Pope in the year 2005 up to 2013, he was aware of the rapid decline of the European civilization, rather Catholicism present in the European, in the continent of Europe, that through the prayers of Saint Benedict there would be a revitalization, there would be a resurgence of Catholicism in Europe. John Paul II, when he visited, he said to France, first daughter of the Church, where is your faith? Where is your faith? That takes me, my friends, right into our readings for the day. We have jumped from Isaiah chapter 1 to Isaiah chapter 7. Now, I'd like to just focus on one of the verses, which is actually the last, which Isaiah says to the people of God, and he's saying it to us also. Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. Unless your faith be firm, you shall not be firm. So I'd like to comment briefly on that. Unless your faith be firm, you shall not be firm. My friends, faith. Where does faith come from? What is faith? What can we do so that we have, following the exhortation of Isaiah, what can we do to fortify and strengthen our own faith? First of all, faith is a gift from God. It is infused into our souls when, in the moment of our baptism, my friends, faith is infused into our souls. It is one of the three theological virtues. Those three theological virtues, my friends, are faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity are the three theological virtues that are infused in our soul in the moment of our baptism. We should be internally grateful that God, in His infinite love and mercy and generosity, has endowed us with these three gifts that were infused in our soul when we were baptized. We didn't even ask for it, most of us. Most of us were baptized as infants. Now, faith, my friends, is a theological, intellectual virtue in which I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, I believe in everything that the church teaches. For the simple reason is that God is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God cannot deceive us. Hope is a theological virtue in which we trust God. We have to believe God, but also we have to trust God. I love the Diary of St. Faustina and the Divine Mercy devotion, and I love that prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. When you're assaulted by doubts, you should say with fervor, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. You are my rock. Then we have the theological virtue of charity, infused in our souls also in the moment of baptism. Charity is supernatural love. The gospel last Sunday of the Good Samaritan, we're called to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, than to love our neighbor as ourself. That's called charity. St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, says that charity is willing the good of another. We should all will the good of the other, especially desiring His eternal salvation. There's no greater good that we can will for another person than that he be saved. Charity is willing the good of the other. So, with respect to faith, I repeat what Isaiah exhorts us, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. So see faith as a rock foundation, not sand, but a rock foundation. Okay, one way in which we can grow in our faith is simply to pray. To pray as such, Lord, pray as such, Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, strengthen my faith. That's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, strengthen my faith. Beautiful prayer. Lord, strengthen my faith. You should say that prayer often during the day. Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, I believe, but strengthen my faith. Another way in which we growing our faith is what we're doing now is we're all called to study our faith. That's right. This is called ongoing permanent formation. This can be done by reading, but also by logging in and joining our Perseverance Family Conversation, because my talk is biblical, it's spiritual, it's catechetical. So by logging in and following these conversations we have every day, one of the fruits will be to grow in your faith. And I'm constantly recommending this is good spiritual reading. And to read the Catechism of the Catholic Faith, rather, Catechism of the Catholic Church. All of us should have at our fingertips the Catechism of the Catholic Church and read that, but and also have that as a reference tool. We can even meditate upon that. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church is basically for us the most reliable resource for us to know the basics of our faith. Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, my friends, is such a useful tool because it explains four pillars: dogma, sacraments, morality, and prayer. You want to get a good handle on your faith? Remember that. Catechism of the Catholic Church. Dogma, in which the Catechism explains the creed. Who is God? Then it goes through the sacraments. My friends, we are a sacramental church. That's right. We are a sacramental church. So it's through the sacraments, these channels of grace, that the most efficacious means by which we can become holy. Then the Catechism goes through the morality. It goes through in detail the Ten Commandments. It goes through what is sin. Goes through the formation of the conscience. It goes through the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. It also goes through, my friends, the moral virtues. And finally, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the fourth part, the fourth pillar, speaks about prayer. And without a doubt, one of the primary purposes also of our Perseverance Family is we're going through the Word of God, but also trying to motivate all of us to be faithful to our daily holy hour. That's right. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, with respect to the fourth part on prayer, But I have to say, my friends, that that is one of the greatest spiritual masterpieces on prayer I believe ever written. One of the greatest masterpieces on prayer ever written would be the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So just to whet your appetite, because Isaiah is challenging all of us to go deeper, in our faith. So as to whet your appetite, Catechism of the Catholic Church points out that as we're thirsting for God, God thirsts for us, and God seeks us out like the lost sheep. Now, my friends, before talking about any concept, my friends, it's good to define, to give a definition of what we're talking about first. The Catechism of the Catholic Church starts off by quoting several saints. Saint Therese. It also quotes a saint that's probably less known to many of you. His name is Saint John Damascene. Saint John Damascene was one of the Eastern fathers of the Church. And St. John Damascene gives us a wonderful definition of prayer. He says that prayer is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. Isn't that a great definition? What do you think? I think that that's one of the best definitions I've ever heard. Prayer is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. I repeat, prayer is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. Prayer is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. Catechism also quotes Saint Alphonsus Liguori. Saint Alphonsus Liguori, a great saint. One of his short masterpieces on prayer is Prayer, the Key to Salvation. Saint Alphonsus says, he who prays well will be saved. He says, he who does not pray will be damned. Then he goes on to say, he who prays little places his salvation in jeopardy. And I've coined a little saying on prayer related to these topics. What air is to the lungs, prayer is to the soul. If we do not breathe, then we're going to die. So if our soul is not constantly praying, inhaling and exhaling God through this communication, then our soul withers and our soul dies. So we should have this real longing for prayer as we pray in Psalm 41, verse 1, as the deer yearns for the running streams, So my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. So faith, my friends, is fostered by prayer. You know what the catechism does? Is the catechism basically takes key biblical figures. Key biblical figures. And presents them as models for prayer. And models also to motivate us to pray all the more. Taking, for example, the Catechism takes Abraham. Abraham, the father of faith, who we encounter in the first book of the Bible, which is the book of Genesis. And the Catechism presents the faith of Abraham. This is what we're talking about today. Isaiah says, unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. Abraham placed his faith in God. You're going to be going to the book of Romans, the letter of Romans, and St. Paul mentions Abraham time and time again. The faith of Abraham. Then the Catechism moves from Abraham to Moses. The Catechism sheds light on Moses. Moses obviously was a man of faith. But Moses is a model of supplication or intercession for us. In which we see the Israelites fail in God, and God is about to chastise them, and Moses goes in the breach, begging the Lord to forgive the people. Also, the Catechism presents Moses as intercessor, but also Moses as leader. Moses is leader in our spiritual combat. The Catechism takes Moses and presents Moses when the Israelites were fighting their enemies, the Amalekites. And as Joshua and the Israelites are fighting the Amalekites, Moses with Aaron and his companion Hur, they climb the hill overlooking the battle. And there Moses is looking down on the battle. And Moses raises up his arms. When Moses raised up his arms, the Israelites prevailed over their enemies. But as Moses' arms started to droop, try it yourself, lift up your arms in your room for, try to do it 5 or 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, and they're going to start to droop. This was the case of Moses. So Aaron and Hur had Moses sit on a big rock overlooking the battlefield, and Aaron elevated Moses' arm on one side and Hur on the other side. The Israelites battled and they won the battle. says that they actually mowed down their enemies at the point of the sword with Joshua as commander-in-chief. So what the Catechism is doing is pointing out the importance of Moses in his role as intercessor, as well as Moses in his role as leader, as guide. Moses as leader in the combat, the warfare. Another note that's interesting is that Moses has his arms raised up. What happens when the priest, the Catholic priest, celebrates the holy sacrifice of the Mass? When the priest celebrates the holy sacrifice of the Mass, what happens is his arms are elevated. He lifts up his arms when he's celebrating the Mass. That's also symbolic, my friends, of Jesus hanging on the cross. Yesterday I showed you this crucifix of Saint Benedict. Right now you can see Jesus on the cross with his arms elevated on the cross. And of course, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is a renewal of what happened on Calvary 2,000 years ago. So every time we go and participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the fruits of Calvary are applied to each and every one of us. The dispositive grace, the more open our hearts are, the more abundant the grace is. Now the Catechism of the Catholic Church presents the prayers of the prophets. In the prophets we have Isaiah, that we're commenting that one verse today. Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. The prophet Elijah. The prayer of the prophets. Now, with respect to Elijah, who was one of the greatest prophets, St. James chapter 5 highlights the power of the prayer and the presence and the holiness of one man, and that one man is Elijah. St. James highlights the fact that one holy man in the eyes of God can work great miracles. And if you read through the book of Kings, Elijah is living during a time in which many of the Israelites have given themselves up to foreign gods, idols. King Ahaz marries Jezebel and they're worshiping false gods, idols. So God decides to send a drought and famine throughout the whole earth. And then Elijah prays. And the skies open and there's a downpouring of rain. It's coming down and down and down and down and down. And then Elijah prays again. And the skies hold back the rains. That's why Catechism and James points out the prayer of one holy man or one holy woman has great, great power, God is more pleased with one saint that really lives out a life of holiness than thousands of mediocre souls. May that one saint be you and me. I repeat, God is pleased with one man or woman that has decided to give himself fully and totally and unreservedly to God than thousands of mediocre souls. There are too many of them out there today. Hopefully that's not you nor me. I see how Elijah in his prayer determined the weather. I like to parallel this with in the diary of Saint Faustina. A storm was about to break out. Faustina prayed, and the storm abated. One holy person, Saint Faustina Kowalska. Saint Faustina Kowalska. One holy person. Then it turned out that God was about to chastise Poland for their sins. But Faustina became like Moses. She lifts up her arms in prayer, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ decides not to chastise Poland because of the prayer of one holy woman. The prayer of one holy woman was able to stay the arm of the chastisement that God was going to mete out upon Poland. So my friends, I'm going through the Catechism of the Catholic Church just highlighting some of the most salient parts of the Catechism with reference to key biblical figures. Catechism also points out the prayer of the king. Most specifically, the prayer of the king, which would be the prayer of King David. Even though David had his faults, he did repent. David did have his faults, but he did repent. And that's the essence of the gospel today, which is a call to repentance. That's the gospel today. We're called to repent. Not like Capernaum, Chorazin, Sidon. We're called to repent, to change our lives. Faith moves us to repentance. Catechism points out the prayer of the king, and one of the best blessings that's given to us through King David is that he, according to most scholars, he's attributed to have composed many of the Psalms. Psalm 51 is an excellent psalm bridging our readings from the faith that Isaiah challenges us to have with the gospel today which is related to the call to conversion. The gospel today, which is the call to conversion. And that comes about as Catholics specifically by the sacrament of conversion, which is confession. So David, after committing the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and murdering an innocent man, Urias, as well as other soldiers that were placed on the front line, called the domino effect of sin, the prophet Nathan goes to David, offering him the parable of the rich king who takes the ewe lamb of the poor man, and David says that man should die. Nathan points out, he says, that man is you. And David finally admits, because he was in a state of negation, he admits that he himself has sinned. And there we have Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks about the prayer of the king. We have that psalm called the Miserere, possibly one of the best acts of contrition you have in the whole Bible, which David honestly says to God, God, against you alone I have sinned. Against you alone I have sinned. How often in our modern world do we hear people playing the blame game? I call it playing the blame game. What is the blame game? It is when we're pointing our finger at others, blaming the world, blaming the society, blaming the country, blaming the church, blaming our parents, blaming the priests, blaming and blaming and blaming. Goes back to the first book of the Bible. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And we have the whole process of people blaming others and not assuming and accepting responsibility for their own actions. And with respect to conversion, we can't be converted if we don't admit, like David, that we ourselves are responsible for our actions. St. Augustine goes on to say that the more we point our finger at others, the less we examine our own consciences. How true. The more we point our finger at others, the less we examine our own conscience. I like to do that dynamic when you might even do this. Take your hand, your fingers, and point them now at me. See, I'm pointing at you with one finger. But notice three of the other fingers are going back to me. It's a good dynamic. One at me, but three back at yourself. Three back at yourself. So David no longer plays the blame game, but he humbly looks to the Lord and says, Lord, against you, you alone have I sinned. He says, I have sinned, not Bathsheba or your eyes. I have sinned. He's admitting his own guilt. I alone have sinned. My sin is always before me. My sin is always before me. Then David says, related to the gospel today, the call to conversion, O Lord, you will not reject a humble and contrite heart. A humble and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not spurn, is the exact biblical verse. A humble and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not spurn. Then David expresses what is part of the prayer to the Holy Spirit. He says, Lord, send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. So, my friends, and Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, we've had a wonderful conversation today, which I decided just to take that one verse of Isaiah, in which he says, unless your faith be firm, you shall not be firm. And presenting to you the Catechism of the Catholic Church as a means by which we can study and learn our faith. And I've given you a summary of a part of the fourth part of the Catechism, which is the part on prayer, which I presented to you, these biblical figures that the Church and the Catechism of the Catholic Church has presented. Abraham, the man of faith. Moses, his power of intercession. The powerful prayer of the prophets Elijah. And finally, the prayer of the king, King David, and those wonderful resources that he's given to us, which are called the Psalms. And I try to relate this to the gospel. If we have faith, then we're going to try to go through a deep conversion. Jesus is challenging us today in the gospel to be converted. First preaching of Jesus, Mark 1:15, be converted because the kingdom of God is at hand. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you with deep faith and a deep conversion in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.